Productions. Recorded live.
You are listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more.
Welcome to episode 40 of the Geocaching Podcast. Tonight we're going to be talking a little bit about caching with small kids, something we're going to be actually interviewing my wife, Jules, because it was actually her idea, because since we have two small kids, and she said, that's a good topic. So we're going to be talking to her a little bit later. First, I want to welcome everybody, say welcome back to the show, and we're glad that you guys are here. We do this thing live. We are live, and we do it every Tuesday, 9 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, and you can come to our show by hitting our show notes up at geocachingpodcast.info. And also, if you want to talk to us during the week, leave us some tips, go ahead and call our voicemail number 206-350-3GPS, and that will get you to our voicemail. Tonight on the phone with my co-host, I have Daryl back again. Welcome back to the show, Daryl.
Hey, thanks. It's nice to be back after a short hiatus there.
So did you get I see you get a board, mixing board back.
Yeah, unfortunately the board that I started out with isn't the one that I have now. And as soon as that board comes back from repair, which isn't expected to be for probably about at least another 3 to 4 weeks, that one's going to go up on eBay or something.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's been a problem ever since I got it, and for them to take 2 months to repair it is a little bit silly. So I
yeah.
got a bigger, better board now, but it's bigger, and that's
nice.
My big problem with it.
Well, a couple things have been happening since since last show. There's a new beta of GSAC, the Geocaching Swiss Army Knife. It's 7.2, and the most notable thing, and the most thing that I found really cool about it, is the ability to download pictures. If you've used GSAC at all, you know that if you take your laptop or computer out away from internet access, like if you'd use it in the field, you would notice that if the cache page has pictures on it, you won't be able to see the pictures because it doesn't actually download the pictures to your cache database. And with 7.2, the beta, you actually have the ability to go out and download the pictures for the caches that are in your database, so you have a chance to actually be able to see the pictures, especially if it's a puzzle that's nice in the field. Sometimes it's just nice to see anything in the field anyway that has pictures. So that's really the only thing that's going on here on our end. Daryl, anything new with you guys?
No, not really. We're just cranking out on Cachemaniacs through the end of the year, celebrating our first anniversary on New Year's Day, and getting next Caches of the Roundtable ready to go. We actually recorded that one last weekend. Should be an interesting show.
Yeah, and speaking of your Cachemaniacs anniversary, we were chatting today, and I think we're going to be doing the Geocaching Podcast interviewing the Cachemaniacs, Cachemaniac style, on that same day. So everybody should be looking forward to that, because that'll be definitely a fun, interesting show.
It kind of turned the tables on Dree and I for a change.
Yeah, we've heard those same questions so much on our end. Now we want to ask them of you. So it'll be a fun show.
Oh, we're looking forward to it. Well,
why don't
we get into
now on to
today's topic?
I was just going to say that. Tonight with us on the phone, we have my wife, Jules. Jules, welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
This is going to be a little bit strange to interview my wife, since I actually know the answers to her questions. We're going to be talking tonight about caching with small kids, because that is something that is completely different. If you've never done it, it's a completely different animal than caching with yourself or caching even with a group of adults. So let's start out with the first and obvious question for me, but not so much for everybody else, but how many kids do you have?
Well, we have two kids. Surprise, just in case you didn't know. we have two kids. We have two boys, Micah, who will be two next week, actually this week. And Elliot, who you may hear hiccuping here in the background, he is almost 4 months.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about the prep at home, because it is different. You can't just pick up and go out and caching with kids. So tell us a little bit about how you prep at home before you go out caching.
Our main thing, we always are scouting out exactly where we're going to go. Caching on the spur of the moment doesn't really happen too often for us. We always know what we're getting into, what kind of terrain we're looking at, whether we're going to need to bring along a stroller or a pack carrier or a wagon, or whether we're just going to have to, you know, lug the kids around. So we're always making out a path, planning out our day ahead of time, usually the day or two before. We always have snacks packed, anything that can keep, you know, little hands busy. That's always helpful. And of course, this really depends on, you know, the age range of kids that you're going with. But for us, having, you know, a toddler and an infant, definitely snacks, lots of water, and most importantly, be sure, you know, to pack along extra diapers. That's a big one.
Yeah,
I'm sure that could be a fairly big disaster on the trail.
It could. You don't usually, you know, you can find some interesting things in some of those caches out there, but I don't think we've ever come upon extra diapers.
I don't think I'd want to try them even if I did.
No kidding.
Well, what are some of the biggest challenges that you run into with the kids out on the trail?
Yeah, probably the biggest thing is when somebody falls asleep in the van on the way. And Andy and I both are fairly competitive, and we like to keep track of who found what and how many we have for the day. And so when somebody falls asleep, that means one of us has to stay behind in the van.
That is true.
And, yeah, so it's always kind of like flipping a coin to who has to stay behind this time. But also realizing that caching is a different game with kids. It's a lot slower, and you really just cannot expect to be adding up the numbers. It just really slows you down.
Now, do you feel that those challenges are age-dependent?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if you're going to be out caching with elementary kids, you know, you don't really, you may, but I don't think you're going to have, you know, kids falling asleep in the car on the way. It's not as big of a deal to wake them up and say, okay, it's time to go hunt, you know, whereas for our little ones, nap time is very important. So yeah, definitely. If you have older kids, you know, spur of the moment caching definitely can happen a lot easier than with our little ones.
Yeah, with our little ones, it is tough because in the morning you gotta get up and get around and do all that prep work, and then by the time you get to go actually going out, it's after lunch, and then so the kids are, that's about their nap time. So it is definitely important. And Ice and Rye says nap time is important to him too. So and he's definitely not a toddler.
That's right. But
one of the other things that I've noticed too with caching with our kids is when I'm out with them, we tend to spend a lot more time at the actual cache site. So, like, if we go to a place where there's a park and a forest, you know, we're definitely always going to spend time in the park. You know, so you may only get two caches in a day done because you spend half an hour in the park playing around, but that is one of the differences that I've seen when we're caching with our kids is you spend more time because it's especially for Micah, he doesn't want to get in and out and in and out and in and out of the car every 5 minutes. You know, he wants to get out and he's going to play, not only do that too. So now you mentioned that we are both competitive, and I know the answer to this, but do your kids get to hold the GPS?
Well, yes. Eli, not so much, because, like I said, he's only 4 months. his time is coming, though. Micah gets so much joy out of just being able to hold the GPS and look at it and pretend like he knows what he's doing with it. You know, we plan to get him a GPS here before too long, maybe for his next birthday when he turns 3, just to kind of get him used to looking at a map and figuring things out. But, yeah, oh, yeah, he loves to grab that thing. Even, you know, you could give it to him in the middle of the house with it turned off, and he thinks that's just the greatest thing.
Yeah, I know when we've been with our nieces and nephews, one of their favorite things to do is just walk staring at the needle. And point,
yes.
Wherever the needle points is where they want to walk.
That's right.
Now, do you
now,
do your kids like to cache, or is it just kind of going along with the parents? It sounds. I know Mike was into it, but what about the younger one?
Well, you know, his little personality is starting to develop, and he's just like his older brother. As soon as he gets outside, he gets a big grin on his face, and he's ready to go, and definitely has the geocaching spirit in him, that's for sure.
Yes, I think I've told this story before on the podcast, but I'll tell it again. Actually, I'll let you tell it about the time that you had to call and have me talk to Micah when I was at work.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm a stay-at-home mom with our 2 boys, and I was doing some work on the computer, which happens to be right next to where we keep all of our caching supplies, and Andy's caching bag is right there, and Micah knows right where it's at, and that day he had just decided that we were going to go geocaching, and he didn't care what I said. It didn't matter. We were going to go, so he grabbed the bag, and he said, "Come on, Mom," and I said, "Well, we can't go caching right now. Daddy's at work," and he just proceeded to force the bag in my lap and push me towards the door and say, "Caching, caching, come on, Mom." And it got to the point where I really couldn't do anything. It went on for about 10 minutes. I said, "Okay, time to call your dad, and he's going to take care of this because we cannot go caching right now." So, yes, he loves to cache.
And quite honestly, Bastia says, "Sounds like his dad." It is. And when she called me, I really wanted to drop everything and come home and go caching. But I had to explain to him that, no, we can't always do everything we want to when we want to do it. And he was okay with that. But it was, yeah, it was definitely kind of made me proud that he really wanted to go caching. But anyone who's listening on the line here, we have only like 1 or 2 more questions that we've got planned out for this show, but I will open up the phone lines for those of you who are called in, or if you're listening live and you want to call in, our phone number is 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. We'll get you on the show. You can ask Jules questions, whether it be about the kids or if for some strange reason you want to try to embarrass me and ask her questions, you can try and do that, but it's not real, yeah. Anyways, so next question, though, is and do you keep track of your kids' finds?
Yeah, that is something we decided to do. I don't know. Micah wasn't quite 1, and we had met another caching family with a little girl that was the same age, and they kept track. She had her own caching name, and they kept track of all of her finds. And so we decided to do the same thing. So both of our boys both have their own caching name. Of course, you know, we don't want to, you know, cheat because we know it is a game. And so if the boys are asleep and they find in the van, they don't get credit for that find. But if they're awake and along with us, then they sign the log and they sign online. And yeah, we keep track of their finds.
And
do you have any tips for anyone who might be looking to take out their nieces or nephews or whatever for the first time?
Oh, sure. You know, again, it's all age dependent, but I guess my biggest piece of advice would just be to do it. I think caching is great for us adults, and it brings out our competitive side. But for kids, I mean, it's truly an adventure every time. You know, be sure that you're attentive to the kids and you know, whatever their personality may be. If they're young and you know that, you know, they're going to be walking a lot, you know, be willing to, you know, pick them up, put them on your shoulders and, you know, keep climbing or whatever. But, you know, mostly just take them out there and keep going. They'll have a blast.
Yeah, I would say the same thing too. Get them out there and remember the things that we talked about today. You know, you're not going to have high fines in the day that you do it, most likely, especially if they're young kids. You may if they're a little bit older, but if they're younger kids, they're going to not be so fast to move around. So just remember that, too. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to open up the phone line for the people who are on the phone. If anyone wants to ask a question or talk anything, has any other input as far as or experience as far as caching with kids, go ahead. You can just go ahead and speak up. Another thing, Monty Ryder couldn't join us today. He had a banquet that he had to go to, but he had put some information input on this. He also said that depending on the age group and how many, he usually checks out the caches ahead of time, just like Jules and I said, except for I'm not sure he may actually go out and actually do the caches ahead of time. We don't do that. And he also said make sure it's a cache that will keep it fun for the kids. Log-only caches are great for adults, but kids like to wonder, you know, the wonder of, okay, what am I going to find here? What kind of trinket can I trade? Stuff like that, where kids, you know, the log-only ones, they don't get to trade. So, and he also says that if going out with a large group of kids, make sure that you have enough adults to keep an eye on the kids, especially if you're going to go out in the woods, because kids love to run ahead of the adults. And even if you check on the cache the day before, you know, there could be, if the climate is right, there could be a snake or something else that's there today just trying to keep warm. So those are the few tips that Montu had. Anyone else have any tips or questions for us?
Well, I kind of have a question on types of caches again. You know, I was really surprised when we went out with my niece and nephew one time to discover that they loved the multi-caches, and they were, I think, about 5 and 6 years old, and they just couldn't get enough of the film cans in the tree that led them to the next clue. And I really kind of thought that was weird because that didn't seem to mesh with anything I thought about caching with kids. I'm pretty sure that the younger kids are more interested in just getting to that treasure cache or treasure can at the end. But have you had any experience with that?
Yeah, Andy, I don't think that we've really, you know, done many multis with our kids, but I can imagine once Micah gets older and starts learning, you know, problem-solving skills and that sort of thing, that he's really going to enjoy that. That's interesting, girl. I never really thought about that.
Yeah, well, it was just one of those things that we never thought that they would like it, and we actually hit that cache by accident. It was marked as a traditional, but it was actually a multi-cache, and they just ate it up.
Anyone else have any questions, comments, input as far as caching with kids? I do have to say that Eli stayed pretty quiet during this podcast. He's sitting on Jules' lap, or was, and he stayed pretty quiet. I'm pretty impressed.
He's still got the hiccups the whole way through.
Now, another comment, too, is with him, being small, especially when it's cold out this time, it's almost easier just to leave him in the car, like with one of the adults, as opposed to, you know, it is easy to get his seat out because it's the kind that actually just snaps into the base, so it's kind of easy to get out. But if it's just going to be a quick park and grab, it's almost easier to leave one of us in there and just have the other one go out because of that. But once they're older, with like Micah's age, it's fun to get them out no matter what, just because they like, you know, to hike too. Ice and Rye says, "How do you handle the 'Are we there yet'?"
I guess we've not really encountered that quite yet. We more get, you know, the more juice and more food, that type of thing. But I don't know. Daryl might actually have more experience in that than we do.
Yeah, we don't have a whole lot. But our biggest problem is when we're on the drives with some of our friends, it's, are we to the next cache yet?
Yes, you are. You know, I guess you just keep reminding them that, you know, it's an adventure, and that's, you know, traveling and getting there is just half of the fun. So, all you can do.
Yeah, geocaching has made travel both more fun and more aggravating. As you start clearing out caches, you can't hit those caches that you want to hit en route like you can when you haven't hit those areas, or when you get into the dry areas where there's just not a whole lot of caches.
Yeah.
Jules, is always, whenever we travel, is like, are you serious you're going to take a caching bag? And I'm like, yeah, come on. It'll be fun. And we end up doing a few, and it's fun traveling with the kids, too, because it breaks up long trips if we decide to do that.
Oh, yeah. And you have to hit the rest area caches.
Yes, we had our first encounter with rest area caches right after Eli was born. Unfortunately, Andy still doesn't have one yet.
Uh-oh.
No, I couldn't find it. It was behind a fence, and it didn't feel like I should hit it because it kind of felt like it was on private, and they were all ready to go, and everyone was late in the day, and everyone was kind of tired and trying to go home, and so I didn't get a chance to hit it.
Yeah, usually we've had pretty good luck with those rest area caches, and you know, it really does get you out of the car, get you moving around, and you know, your legs just get so tired after an hour or so of driving and not doing much that it's nice to just get out and walk, and it gives you a good excuse.
That's true.
Let's see, Bass Chass is...
says, go ahead, Daryl.
Oh, I was going to say, Bass Chass is asking about what additional items you might have in the cash bag because of the kids.
That's a good question. Well, like I said, we always have plenty of extra diapers, but also definitely extra Band-Aids, extra bottles of water. We have
swag.
Oh, yeah, we always have swag, that's for sure. Mike is at that stage where, you know, finding a toy is just about the best thing on earth. So, yeah, we always have extra swag toys for him to play with that he's not planning, you know, to trade are always helpful too.
Yeah, I would say that. And, it's funny too, because I have my own cash bag and Micah has this little backpack too. And nothing's actually in it. I soon hope to put some sort of toys in it that he can trade, some sort of stuff for him to do that. But he right now doesn't have anything in there, but he carries it. Whenever we go caching, he wants to have his caching bag, just because it's just like me. And it's cute, and it's fun to see him want to go caching and have the caching bag, even though there's nothing in it for him. So I'm guessing I want to this next summer, when it's warmer out, I want to fill his bag with stuff so he can have his own little bag.
Well, Bass Chaz is also mentioning that it's nice having the children along with you because they're small and can fit where you can't.
That's true, and it's a lot easier, you know, to pass off when muggles are around that, you know, oh, no, we're just stopped here because Junior has to, you know, go potty or whatever, and that always comes in handy, too.
Yeah, you know, there's so many caches that I've hit where I just can't get my hand in. You know, you need someone with a smaller hand. And fortunately, usually Dree is able to handle that one for me.
Yeah, and it. The dad says, also take extra quarters in case the older kids grab the larger coins. So everyone has something to grab, so...
That's a great idea.
That is a good idea. Anyone else have any questions or comments?
And the Intolerables are saying, we always bring swag and TBs, as our son likes to trade TBs and coins. Big fusses when I don't. Yeah, that's something that a lot of kids seem to like to do, is, you know, see those travelers move. And I know our niece and nephew really liked seeing that on the map to watch the map fly around and show you where the travelers have been.
Speaking of travelers, we actually, and this is an idea that we had last Christmas, when Micah was one, in our Secret Santa thing that we did in the podcaster forums, I got a travel bug tag. And so I said, you know what we're going to do? This is going to be Micah's tag. We're going to attach an item that has something to do with him. We're going to let it out, and we're going to see where it goes and try to have it back by his birthday. His birthday is actually this Sunday, and we actually have the travel bug back. It didn't leave Indiana, so that's kind of disappointing. But it is back in our possession, and it got stuck in really, really hard cash for a while. But thank you to some Indianapolis area cashers who went and found it for us. We actually have it back in our possession, and we're going to be doing the same thing for Eli's first birthday too. We're going to be releasing a bug and seeing where it goes, and have it back by his second birthday, and then give it to them and not send it back out in the wild, kind of just as a gift, so they can kind of see where that bug went the first year of their life. And I think it'll be definitely cool once he gets a little bit older too, where he can, yeah, check it out and see where it's been. I think Eli's trying to put in some input in there and what he likes to do while caching.
Yeah, I think he's complaining that you're not out caching right now instead of talking on the phone.
That is true.
You've created monsters.
Well, I think if there's not any more questions, I think that's it for our podcast this week. Next week, we won't be doing a live podcast. I'm going to release a Christmas show. It has mostly Christmas music in it, just for your listening pleasure. I'll release that on Christmas. And we like I said, we'll be doing the following week on the 1st, interviewing the Cash Maniacs style. So definitely be sure to join us then. And next week, it's Christmas, so hopefully you have a good Christmas. And we'll see you again live in 2 weeks. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a good week, and go get your caches.